But the old-time storytellers would tell you that Rabbit was the leader of them all in mischief. And you knew exactly what kind of story was coming. Rabbit was the messenger for the council. He was also known as a good singer and a good dance leader. But mostly he is remembered for the trouble that he caused. Long ago, in those early days when the animals could speak and the people could understand them, there lived on top of a mountain a great giant named Flint. And all the flint rock in the world was contained within the body of old Flint. And he was a terrible, terrible creature. All the Indian people at that time journeyed to that one mountain where Flint lived. And they would make their tobacco offerings. And Flint would let them chip pieces off his body. And that's how all the arrowheads and spear points were made at that time, were from pieces of old Flint. And of course, the animals hated him. Because as far as they could see, he existed for no other reason than to help to kill them. And finally, they got together in a great big council to see if there was something they could do to rid the world of old Flint. Now, Rabbit listened to the other animals speak, and most of them were so frightened of this giant that they had never even climbed that mountain where Flint lived. And after a while, Rabbit stood up and began speaking in council. He began talking about how it was no more than a half a day's work for a mighty warrior, such as Rabbit, to rid the world of this evil monster. Now, Rabbit was speaking in council mostly the way he always did. He thought his voice sounded fine. But after a while, when he saw the way the other animals were treating him with respect, he began to believe his own words. And so the next day, Rabbit was halfway up Flint's mountain when he realized he did not have any idea of what he would do when he got to the top. He sat down to think about it. He said, "I better have a plan." Well, he sat and he thought, and he thought, and he thought, but no ideas came to him. And so he decided that what he would do would be journey to the top of the mountain, greet Flint in the traditional way, Osio, and Flint would invite him into his house and offer him something to eat. Custom was very strict about this. And Rabbit would look around Flint's house, and he decided he would save his idea till he got there. So that's what he did. He journeyed to the top of the mountain and he greeted Flint in the traditional way. "Osio, Osio," said Flint. And then they stood there looking at one another. Apparently Flint did not have the same manners. He didn't invite Rabbit in. He didn't offer him anything to eat. He just stood there looking at him. And after a while, Rabbit decided that maybe if he invited Flint to his house to eat, he could save his idea till he got there. So he began speaking to Flint of having him down to visit, of having a good feast in his honor. That was why he had journeyed all this way. "You've probably heard of me," said Rabbit. "I'm a very good cook." Well, Flint said that he never left his mountain. People might come looking for him, but when Rabbit began to talk about all the different kinds of food he could prepare, well, Flint agreed that he would visit Rabbit the very next day. So Rabbit scurried back down off that mountain and he worked hard all night long. He fixed every kind of food that he knew how to prepare. And the next day when Flint came down from his mountain, there was this great feast laid out by Rabbit's hole there by the river in the broomgrass field. And when Flint saw all that food, he said, "How many people are coming to this feast?" And Rabbit said, "Oh, this is all for you. I forgot to ask you what you like to eat best. So I fixed many different kinds of things to eat." So they sat down and they offered just a little bit of deer liver to the fire. And then they began to feast. Now Rabbit, you know, he's a small fellow. It wasn't long before he was full. But Flint had never seen so many different kinds of food. He kept eating and eating and eating. After a while, Rabbit went and got two blocks of wood and sat down next to the fire and began to carve them. He made a great wooden mallet and a long, sharp, pointed stake. Flint looked over there at that and said, "Now what are those for?" And Rabbit said, "Oh, you must have heard of me. I'm the kind of fellow who likes to keep busy. You never know when tools will come in handy." Now, after a while, Flint had eaten so much food that his belly was all swollen out like this. He could hardly sit up. He said, "Maybe I better rest for a while before I climb back up my mountain." And Rabbit said, "Oh, stay, visit as long as you like." Flint stretched out there in that broom grass field and fell sound asleep. And Rabbit crept over next to him, and he put that stake on Flint's belly. And he took that mallet, and with one great blow of that mallet, he drove that stake right down into Flint's belly and turned and ran for his hole as fast as he could go. Suddenly, the earth shook as Flint's body exploded into millions and millions of pieces that flew all around the world. Have you noticed that you find pieces of Flint lying around just about every place these days? People didn't have to journey so far to make their arrowheads and their spear points. You find pieces of old Flint lying around just about everywhere. Well, Rabbit dove in his hole, and he listened to the Flint raining down on the world. And when everything was quiet, he poked just his nose out, and he looked up, and one last sharp sliver of Flint fell and split Rabbit's nose right down the middle. You look at Rabbit's grandchildren today, that funny split nose that wiggles like that. You should look at that and remember what a good job Rabbit did getting Flint out of the way.